Now, we are we're now going into our first interview for the program. So we are very happy to be joined by Alan Jennings, who is a longtime solidarity activist with Latin America. He is also a Socialist Alliance member and has also, had some experience of spending time in Cuba and Nicaragua. And we have Alan on to kind of have a bit of a discussion, to give a bit of a kind of insight into some of the history of, some of the of US intervention in Cuba since the Cuban Revolution in 1959. So, good morning, Alan.
Morning, Jacob.
Good morning, Alan. It's Mary here.
Oh, Mary.
Sorry, I'm not
Oh,
able to hear
yeah.
you.
I should have fixed it. Yeah, you should that should work. Yeah.
Okay. So, Alan, our first question is, it's sort of a three-pronged question, actually. Firstly, how did the early US economic sanctions and trade restrictions after the 59 Cuban Revolution impact Cuba? And how did the government of Castro and Che Guevara respond to those attacks? How has the prolonged embargo of Cuba also impacted Cuba?
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, that's the key question. But I mean, ironically, this all started, it's not initially in 1959, but sort of into the middle of the next year, 1960, when the United States was sending oil, petroleum to Cuba and decided to stop that and prohibited oil being sent to Cuba in the middle of 1960. As the Cuban government sort of got on its way and started to implement some of its laws, including the agrarian reform. And US companies were fearful of losing their assets and losing their land in Cuba. And so they stopped sending oil to Cuba, and USSR stepped in and provided crude oil. And then the United States actually prohibited private refineries from refining that crude oil. And as a response to that, the Cubans, this was headed by Fidel Castro at the time, the Cubans then privatized those oil refineries. And that was the beginning of a complete trade embargo of the country in 1960. And it's lasted since then, which is, the longest trade embargo in modern history, at least. And you think about the effects of this. 80% of Cuba's trade at the time was with the US, and that just went to zero overnight. So all of the things that you import, all the equipment, all the materials, all the food, all the everything, stopped. And so, there was not only trade, but also US citizens have been banned from visiting Cuba. And worse still, third-party countries have been sanctioned if they continue to trade with Cuba. So it's more than just the trade embargo. And this has really restricted Cuba's ability to develop, just thinking of all the equipment and food and resources they need to develop their country. And their initial major response was to, shift over time all of their trade to the Soviet Union. And this is in the context of the Cold War at the time. So, then they went from a major economic change to shift their trade to the Soviet Union. And also being, I mean, really creative and really inventive with what they did with their meager resources or their restricted resources. I mean, for example, the famous US-made 1950s cars, which is still around in Cuba at the moment, the Cadillacs and the Fords and the Pontiacs, they learned to make the parts themselves and continue to maintain these cars, and they're still going today. This is cars from the 1950s, but they've struggled, and of course it got worse in the 1990s when the Soviet Union collapsed and they had to do the same thing again, diversifying their trade. You know, just the whole world sees this, almost the whole world sees this as illegal and damaging and, you know, destructive to the people of Cuba. And the United Nations every year votes on this trade embargo. And almost every country opposes it, even Australia, believe it or not, because it is an attack on the people of Cuba and it's illegal.
So I want to go, I guess, into kind of the next kind of question. One of the most kind of significant kind of attacks on Cuba was the whole Bay of Pigs historical kind of event. Can you tell us how the US attack was kind of defeated and what was the context for the Bay of Pigs?
Yeah, well, and this was in a year after the trade embargo started in April 1961. We'll go into this a bit more, but the United States, mainly through pervert actions funded by the CIA, has attempted to overthrow the government of Cuba since the beginning. The Bay of Pigs was literally a military invasion of Cuba by primarily Cuban exiles in Florida, who some 1,500 Cuban exiles who were trained and supported and funded by the CIA to literally invade the country, and they were planning to take it back. And this was literally, these people were trained, not in Florida because it was too obvious, but they were trained in Guatemala and Nicaragua, who were right-wing governments at the time. And then they sent in their boats from those countries. And on the night before, this is in April 1961, the CIA arranged to bomb the airport and try to damage some of the Cuban planes. And then the boats came in with the Cuban exiles in the morning and landed at what they call the Bay of Pigs and attempted to come up on the beach and take over the country. But the Cubans were ready for them. They were waiting for them, and they basically walloped them. They defeated them very quickly. In 3 days, it was all over. And some 400 of the Cuban exiles, the paramilitaries, had been killed, and the rest of them were taken as prisoners and charged and imprisoned. The major thing supposedly is the U.S. or Kennedy at the time refused to or didn't want to provide any air cover for the boats, and because that would make an official Air Force invasion, and they basically just wiped their hands off and let these U.S.-funded paramilitaries, fall. So it really was the major attempt at an invasion of Cuba by the United States. And it remains as a point of, a very important point in Cuban history, as they basically defeated the U.S. invasion. And it remains as a shameful and clearly, negative point in U.S. history, where the USA was defeated.
Alan, you mentioned covert actions. So how extensive have these U.S. operations been to sabotage the economy and also to assassinate Cuban leaders?
It's just crazy how... the list goes on. It's just been an obsession of the U.S. to take out Fidel Castro and to take back this country. You've got the economic, blockade, which we've talked about. You've got the invasion, which we've just talked about, the Bay of Pigs. But you've also got hundreds of attempts to assassinate Fidel. Hundreds. I mean, we're talking of only the head of the U.S. security at the time, lists and documents 638 attempts to assassinate Fidel Castro, including really crazy things like poisoning his cigars when he was in New York for the UN conference. I mean, Fidel used to do scuba diving and spear fishing, and there was attempts to have shells that explode and blow him up and kill him. I mean, there's been hundreds of attempts, all failures, of course. But more than that, the CIA's organised attacks, covert attacks on Cuban infrastructure, including transport, and even things like poisoning and sabotaging sugar mills in Cuba, which is their major economic income. So, you know, the list goes on. It's just far too long to elaborate any further, but there's been many, many attempts to overthrow the government.
I want to go into kind of one of the next kind of questions, which is kind of like you've kind of just spoken about the kind of impacts of, you know, the kind of intensive kind of covert sort of US operations. But I guess I want to kind of go into the current context. What can you comment about the latest attacks by the Trump administration, and what do you think they are meant to achieve?
Well, we should mention here that the trade embargo has, you know, been really damaging, but it's gone to another level since the Cuban intervention in Venezuela, when, of course, they took out the Venezuelan president, and they basically have taken control of the oil in Venezuela, and that has been the source of oil for Cuba for many years. And so the embargo has worsened with the blockade of petroleum coming to Cuba, and, you know, all countries who try to do that are being sanctioned. So it's really gone to another level. This is what they've been trying to do since 1959, but it seems like now that the situation in Cuba is a lot worse, and this is what they want. Until recently, I had thought this would be another level of attempting to rely on disgruntled Cubans, spurred on by, you know, CIA, you know, provocateurs to lead protests, to actually enrage the people and against their own government and support some sort of uprising. But with the indictment last week of Raul Castro, Raul Castro is obviously Fidel Castro's brother. He was president for some 16 years, and is now 94. He was indicted last week for shooting down. He was head of defense forces at the time, shooting down in 1996 of some planes which were coming into U.S. Air Force airspace. So this has actually changed the discussion, because, you know, they used the excuse of Maduro, the president of Venezuela, excuse of him being a drug trafficker or whatever. You know, some sort of lie, and it seems like they may use, well, they will use this indictment of Raul Castro as an excuse to make some sort of intervention. So I'm now more fearful of a U.S. intervention because of this indictment of Raul Castro, giving them an excuse for some sort of invasion. Adding to the fact that, you know, the CIA has been in Cuba publicly and openly discussing with the current president some sort of deal. And don't forget that the current U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, is Cuban origin. And for him, it's a very personal thing that, you know, on their watch that they get Cuba back. So, yeah, to me, it could go either way, but it's starting to look more like some sort of military intervention by the U.S. in Cuba.
That's really worrying. That's really horrible to think that that might happen. We have to wrap it up. So any final comments, Alan?
No, I think it's just, I mean, you after, you know, 67 years of an attempted, you know, the Cuban people and the Cuban government trying to do the best for their people, including supporting other countries around the world in spite of all these historical challenges, some of which I've just mentioned. I mean, they've done this amazing things in their country and they're still trying their hardest. I mean, in these most difficult moments, we really all should support Cuba. And also demand from our government to do the same.